About 10 past, I'm right.
Yes, it is.
A few keeping us talking. So. Anyway, let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord, for the services this morning. We do pray your good hand upon us now. Lord, that we can just enjoy this time of praise and study and thoughts from your word. Please bless us, Lord, and be with our brothers and sisters wherever they are, and give them, each one of us, Lord, this day our daily bread. Whatever it is that we need, Lord, if it's a lifting up for us or a thick ear, I pray that you would supply our needs this day. Just love you and thank you, Lord. And we ask all of this in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ. And not forgetting Ed Bissett and his chemo treatment tomorrow, Lord. We love you and praise you. Amen. Paul, let's sing some of these old songs. We're going to start with 137 in the big book. 137. If there was ever a hymn appropriately titled for the days in which we live, I think this is it. 137. That's in times like these.
Thank you.
10 this evening. John 10. That's Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. John 10. As opposed to 1st, 2nd, 3rd, John, Jude, and Revelation, John 10. I don't think there is a 10 in there. John chapter 10 is 42 verses. Many of these verses were a tremendous help to me in my formative years as a Christian, and a great comfort to me now as the years have gone on, especially verses 25 through 29, and I hope they are to you as well. There is a very relevant warning to us as well about being careful who we listen to and what we allow to guide our lives. But instead of me explaining it badly, let's read the words of Jesus Christ. This is what the Lord said in John 10. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that entereth not by the door into the sheepfold, but climbeth up some other way, the same is a thief and a robber. But he that entereth in by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the porter openeth, and the sheep hear his voice, and he calleth his own sheep by name, and leadeth them out. And when he putteth forth his own sheep, he goeth before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. And the stranger will they not follow, but will flee from him, for they know not the voice of strangers. This parable spake Jesus unto them, but they understood not what things they were which he spake unto them. Then said Jesus unto them again, verily, verily, I say unto you, I am the door of the sheep. All that ever came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear me. I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved, and shall go in and out and find pasture. The thief cometh not but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. I am come that they might have life, and that they might have it more abundantly. I am the good shepherd, and the good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. But he that is an hireling and not the shepherd, whose own the sheep are not, seeth the wolf coming, and leaveth the sheep and fleeth, and the wolf catcheth them and scattereth the sheep. The hireling fleeth because he is an hireling, and careth not for the sheep. I am the good shepherd, and know my sheep, and am known of mine. As the Father knoweth me, even so know I the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. And other sheep I have, which are not of this fold, them also I must bring, and they shall hear my voice, and there shall be one fold and one shepherd. Therefore doth my Father love me, because I lay down my life that I might take it again. No man taketh it from me, but I lay it down of myself. I have the power to lay it down, and I have the power to take it again. This commandment have I received of my Father. There was a division, therefore, again among the Jews for these sayings. And many of them said, he hath a devil and is mad. Why hear ye him? And others said, these are not the words of him that hath the devil. Can a devil open the eyes of the blind? And it was at Jerusalem, the feast of the dedication, and it was winter. And Jesus walked in the temple in Solomon's porch. Then came the Jews round about him and said unto him, How long dost thou make us to doubt? If thou be the Christ, tell us plainly. And Jesus answered them, I told you, and ye believe not. The works that I do in my Father's name, they bear witness of me. But ye believe not, because ye are not of my sheep, as I said unto you. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. And I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, and neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. My Father which gave them me is greater than all. No man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. I and my Father are one. Then the Jews took up stones again to stone him. And Jesus answered them, many good works have I shown you from my Father. For which of those works do you stone me? And Jesus answered, the Jews answered him, saying, for a good work we stone thee not, but for blasphemy, because thou, being a man, makest thyself God. And Jesus answered them, is it not written in your law, I said, ye are gods? If he called them gods unto whom the word of God came, and the scripture cannot be broken, say ye of him whom the Father had sanctified and sent into the world, thou blasphemest because I said I am the Son of God. If I do not the works of my Father, believe me not. But if I do, though ye believe not me, believe the works, that ye may know and believe that the Father is in me and I in him. Therefore they sought again to take him, but he escaped out of their hand, and went away again beyond Jordan into the place where John had first baptized, and there he abode. And many resorted unto him and said, John did no miracle, but all things that John spake of this man were true. And many believed on him there. Amen. Amen. Thank you very much for your good time. Just a brief reminder, make sure you get one of those wee prayer lists. There'll be a new one next week. The extras on it are a young man called Mike Lasky. Is he a distant relation of Monica's? Who has chronic leukemia. And he's... he said this second cousin once removed or something like that. He's not a wee fella. He's a man with two little boys by way of a family. So we'd appreciate your prayers for him. We'd appreciate your prayers for the folks in Russia that lost their lives during the shooting in the... what did you call the theatre? It had an unusual name. Anyway, in a theatre in Russia, I think there were over 100 people killed and over 140 were injured. So please do pray for lives and for souls over there. Other than that, I think that's about that. Just a reminder too of how things are going in the world. Scotland is introducing a new law come the 1st of April that it is a very wide-ranging, broad and vague act that enables a policeman to arrest you for something that they have deemed might be offensive. So in other words, if they don't like the look of you, or you've been stepping on the cracks in the pavement, or wearing a loud tie in a built-up area, they could arrest you for that because someone's offended at it. Please do pray for our own UK, because if it works in Scotland, it will be in here next. So please do pray about those things. Amen. Right. We're back to singing again, so let's take our wee black hymn books. And I think that we have a pick for number 31. Is that it, Norman?
Yeah.
Number 31. We'll stand and sing "The King of Love, My Shepherd Is." This might be the last time you get a chance all week to sing with the brethren these good old songs in church. So, can make a joyful noise. It doesn't have to be tuneful. It only has to be joyful. "The King of Love, My Shepherd Is." We'll sing one more. Number 27 in the Wee Black Book. Another old one. This one is called Number 27 is Nearer My God to Thee. That's another good old one.
Plus it's a help. We may have seated as we sing. Numbers, Deuteronomy, Joshua.
Joshua 24, I have 29 in the book. I was wondering about that. There you go. Joshua chapter 24, and we are beginning at verse number 14. We're going to read the rest of this. There's only about maybe 20 verses. Hope this is a help to you. We're speaking on the subject of chastening. Chastening today. Not generally speaking the most pleasant of topics, but something we all need from time to time. But let's have a look at what the Word of God says. Now therefore, fear the Lord, and serve him in sincerity and truth. And put away the gods which your fathers served on the other side of the flood, and in Egypt, and serve you the Lord. And if it seem evil unto you to serve the Lord, choose you this day whom you will serve, whether the gods which your fathers served that were on the other side of the flood, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. And the people answered and said, God forbid that we should forsake the Lord to serve other gods. For the Lord our God, he it is that brought us up out of and our fathers out of the land of Egypt from the house of bondage, and which did those great signs in our sight, and preserved us in all the way wherein we went, and among all the people through whom we passed. And the Lord drave out from before us all the people, even the Amorites which dwelt in the land. Therefore will we also serve the Lord, for he is our God. And Joshua said unto the people, ye cannot serve the Lord, for he is an holy God. He is a jealous God, and he will not forgive your transgressions nor your sins. If ye forsake the Lord and serve strange gods, then he will turn and do you hurt, and consume you after that he hath done you good. And the people said unto Joshua, nay, but we will serve the Lord. And Joshua said unto the people, your witnesses against yourselves that ye have chosen you the Lord to serve him, and they said, we are witnesses. Now therefore put away, said he, the strange gods which are among you, and incline your heart unto the Lord God of Israel. And the people said unto Joshua, the Lord our God will we serve, and his voice will we obey. So Joshua made a covenant with the people that day, and set them a statute and an ordinance in Shechem. And Joshua wrote these words in the book of the law of God, and took a great stone and set it up there under an oak that was by the sanctuary of the Lord. And Joshua said unto all the people, behold, this stone shall be a witness unto us, for it hath heard all the words of the Lord which he spake unto us. It shall be therefore a witness unto you, lest you deny your God. So Joshua let the people depart, every man unto his inheritance. And it came to pass after these things that Joshua the son of Nun, the servant of the Lord, died, being 110 years old. And they buried him in the border of his inheritance with Timnath-Serah, which is in Mount Ephraim, on the north side of the hill of Gaash. And Israel served the Lord all the days of Joshua, and all the days of the elders that overlooked Joshua, and which had known all the works of the Lord that he had done for Israel. And the bones of Joseph, which the children of Israel brought up out of Egypt, buried they in Shechem, in a parcel of ground, which Jacob bought of the sons of Hamor, the father of Shechem, for 100 pieces of silver. And it became an inheritance of the children of Joseph. And Eleazar, the son of Aaron, died, and they buried him in a hill that pertained to Phinehas' son, which was given him in Mount Ephraim. Amen. The main thrust of the thoughts that I would like to bring to your attention this evening are running from verses number 14 through until verse number 25. And I want to speak for a little time this evening on the subject of chastening. Amen. Let's have a word of prayer and then we'll continue. Heavenly Father, Lord, do indeed, we're glad to be saved, and we're glad to be your children, and we're glad to have you as our Father. And we're glad, Lord, you love us and that you give us so much. But we know too, Lord, that we're not perfect. We make mistakes. We make the wrong choices. And sometimes, Lord, we need to be straightened out. We know, Lord, that this is what this chapter is about. A warning from Joshua to the children of Israel, but not only to them, but to us as well. Lord, in these last of the last days, walking with you is so important as regards keeping our heads screwed on and pointed in the right direction. Let us always remember to walk the way you want us to walk. We love you and thank you. And we pray, Lord, for Israel, for Russia and Ukraine, for Israel and the Israeli-Hamas conflict, for our government leaders, Lord, that all of these that hate you, Lord, would be opposed at every turn. And for all of these that love you, Lord, would be blessed. Thank you for loving us, Lord. We ask all of these things, Lord, and we leave the remainder of this service at your feet. Please, Lord, I pray you do with it as you will. Depending on you, Lord, we love you and thank you. Amen. 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 Like I said before, I am always one that loves to be able to come to the front of the church and tell you about the new verse that I read in Isaiah 14:31, that if you do things God's way, you'll soar over all your problems like an eagle. You'll be able to do stuff and nothing can stop you. I love to be able to tell you that the verses that we were reading in John, that Jesus has you in the Jesus keeps you in the palm of his hand, and no man can pluck you out. Now it gets even better, because God keeps you, the Father keeps you in the palm of his hand, and no man can pluck you out. Even if you could see in there, you would see that the Holy Spirit sees you from within. So you're like the ark, you're pitched within and without, and waterproofed against the flood and against judgment. And that's what God has for us. It's great to be able to stand up here and tell you about all the items of prophecy that I have come across and that are happening out in the world, because that is my faith in the Word of God. And it makes me more able to look to what God says instead of what the world says. And there is a surprising amount of strength in not having to do what everybody else in the world is doing. Because a lot of times they're not like sheep at all, they're like lemons, they're just finding new clips to run off every single day. I love to know that Jesus is a loving shepherd. I love to know that. I love to know that so many of the men that are out there in the world today, they're hirelings, they're mercenaries. And when the money stops coming in, they clear off to look for fairer and greener pastures. I love to tell you about those things. Because those are things that are happening outside of us. Those are things that are happening in the world around us that we can take our fingers and point at and say, that's right, that's wrong, God's great, he keeps sending us blessings. I love that. I love to be able to do it. But there are times that we need to explore the other side of love. Because love, real love, biblical love, as mentioned in 1 Corinthians chapter 13, it means saying no sometimes. It means a thick ear. It means a sore behind. It means bed without supper. It means all of these things. It means doing your work before you get to your play. It means all of these things. And it means loss. A lot of the things that we look at out in the world today are look like fun. Sometimes they look like fun because everybody else is doing it and they're working really, really hard and spending lots and lots of money to make it look like fun. Oh, I spent a fortune. I have this all worked out from years ago, just shortly after I got saved and started and finished working in the hotel. I used to work in a hotel, and I would see people out every Monday night, Tuesday night, Wednesday night, Thursday night, Friday night, and all day Sunday. And people would be having a great time. They'd be so jolly at the end of the evening. They'd be very kindly leaving money everywhere in the seats and under the tables for the cleaners in the morning, or if you were really diligent that night after closing, in case somebody else got it in the morning. And I got to thinking, all of these people seem to be having a great time. Am I missing out? Well, I worked it out in my head. People, especially women, Spend hours getting ready for an item. New shoes, new dress, hair done, nails done, makeup done. Then they have to find some fella to drive them to wherever it is they're going and pay a cover charge. Even whenever I was there, £5 was a lot of money to get into a hotel for. And the fella would pay for that. Now it didn't stop there. There was a lot of money had to be spent in alcohol. £20 or £30. Doesn't sound like a lot, but run that up to £50 or £60 now. That was back whenever a pint used to be about 60 or 70p. I don't know what it is now. And I got to thinking, I would be busted if I did that. I would be waking up with a hangover the next day, and I can get a headache without drinking. I would be like, there was a wee girl called Ben, and I don't even know if she's alive or not, Bernadette, she was about that high. And she weighed about 150 or 160 pounds. And she worked for the DHSS, but she also had a job in the hotel. She was a great wee girl. And I remember the times that she would have sat in the bar stool and her feet were dangling 2 or 3 foot off the ground. And she was drunk after spending a fortune of money at the hotel. I'm going to get off the stool, but because her feet were stuck in between the bars, her body decided to go, but her feet decided to stay, and the stool fell over, and she was black and blue. But she got up again, and she was fine. And I thought, between the money spent, and between the possible injuries, and the look of some of the people that come in, and them nearly yellow or white, I thought, I've caught that. That price is too high a price to pay to, in quotes, have a good time. Not everything that the world says is a good time is a good time. To compare it against the Word of God, that will show you what is a good time and what isn't. If you want something that's really exciting, if you want something to get all of your cylinders firing at full speed, if you want to match your wits and your knowledge of the Scriptures with the Holy Spirit against the devil and all his angels, start talking to someone about their immortal soul and when they're going to heaven. Praying as you go, and you will find that there is a thrill to be had there that is sufficient. And even more than that, a joy to be had whenever you successfully deliver the gospel or have the offer of delivering the gospel. And even more if that person says, do you know what, Norman? All those things that you've said to me, very good points, tell me how to be saved. And it is a real blessing to get down on your hands and knees and pray with someone and lead them to the foot of the cross. There's a lot of the good things. And sometimes God's people, for whatever reason, they don't have their heads screwed on properly. It might be, as we spoke this morning in 2 Peter chapter 1, that it's been such a long time since the Christian has had a read through his Bible, and he steps out in the direction that the Bible says that he shouldn't. It might be that the Christian has never read through the Bible. They're in a church that says, you don't worry about reading the Bible. I will bring you every bit of Bible that you need to understand. As soon as someone says that, you go and read it for yourself. Like going into the solicitors, never sign anything without reading it first or without having someone there as your advocate, as a solicitor, to read it for you. You never put your name to anything unless you are 100% sure. We make mistakes. We make bad decisions. And sometimes there is a cost to that. In the endless ages of eternity, there are many lost souls who have made the worst decision to reject Christ as their Savior. And for by all of the bad decisions, Norman was talking about shares in Truth Social. No, something like that. That are going live tomorrow morning. And some people might say, do you know what, that sounds like it might be a quick kill. I might get a quick kill on that. I'm going to spend a couple of $100s. I'm going to get 100 shares, wouldn't be a couple of $100s.
maybe a couple of $1,000. I'm going to get myself a couple of 100 shares, and I'm going to sell them on Friday, and I'm going to make, instead of making having 6,000, I'm going to have 8,000. Quick killing 2,000. I remember when they did that with British Airways, I think, yep. And you might think then, but I told you about that on Monday. Did you not do something about it? Said, nope, didn't have the money. Well, that's a sad decision, but if you had the money and didn't buy it, you would say that's a bad decision. Because you're missing out. You can live with that. I'm going to tell you something, friends. You can't live without Jesus. One of the verses that we were reading back in John chapter 10, these are the words of Jesus Christ. He said, I am come that they might have life, and that they might have it more abundantly. Eternal life, and then a decent life right now. A good life. A life that you can sleep sound in your bed at night every night, knowing that you've done the right thing and you're safe in the arms of Jesus. Sometimes we don't make the right decisions because of people that we have called friends or brethren, because of family, because of opportunities, because we think maybe we could be in for a quick kill or a quick thrill. We don't make the right decision. As we read this portion of God's word, I am sure each one of us has heard the verse, choose this day whom you will serve. And then it goes dot, dot, dot. As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. I'm sure we've heard that verse before. It's been on at least one sermon before in this pulpit. But it wasn't until a Christian man, Christy actually, he brought my attention to verse number 20. Because all the children of Israel, whenever Joshua gave this, he said, if it seem evil unto you to serve the Lord, choose who you're going to serve. Don't be dithering, don't be dallying. Choose this day who you're going to serve. Is it going to be the gods that your fathers worshipped on the other side of the flood? One of the reasons for the flood. Or is it going to be the gods of the Amorites in whose land you dwell? Choose. Well, as far as I'm concerned, me and my house will serve the Lord. And then all the people here, they got all uptight. We're going to serve the Lord. We will serve the Lord. We remember all of the things that he's done. We remember him preserving us. We remember him giving us the victories. We remember him giving us water and food. We remember him destroying the armies of the Egyptians. We remember getting all the money off the Egyptians. We're going to serve him. One of the reasons Moses wasn't speaking these words is because the children of Israel couldn't hold their water. And he lost the plot then. God said to Moses, speak to the rock. The second time he said, strike the rock once. That's Christ being stricken once for our sins. Speak to the rock the second time is us pleading with Christ for our salvation. Begging him for our salvation. But Moses was so annoyed with the way the children of Israel go, he said, must I fetch water out of this rock? And he hit the rock again, and God said, because you disobeyed me, you will see the promised land, but you will not enter in there. Now, he was about 120 whenever that happened. But even so, he could have lived longer. There is a cost to disobeying the Lord, whether you do it in temper, whether somebody else has pushed you to the brink, there is a cost to disobeying the Lord. This does not mean God is your enemy. If your mummy or daddy took and spanked you for being cheeky or for doing the wrong thing, doing something that you were expressly forbidden from doing, you in your little mind might be thinking, making all those sounds, and there might be tears, and the start of them might be angry, and the tail of them might be sorrowful. And you might even think that you hated your mummy and daddy because they spanked your behind for you. But I can guarantee you now, as you look back, from an older person's point of view, from your mummy and daddy's point of view, you can say, well, I deserved them all. or at least I would hope you'd be honest enough to say that. But I deserved every stripe of the wooden spoon. I deserved every slipper across the backside. I deserved it all. I remember whenever I was little, I found out how to use Stanley knives. And I thought, I'm not going to cut it on the kitchen table because it'll cut the melamine finish on the kitchen table. So I put it on the floor. And I cut the pieces of paper on the floor. And I cut these huge big gouges out of the lino on the floor and never thought a thing about it. Until my dad said, "What happened to lino?" I said, "What happened to lino?" And then he was able to put his fingers underneath it and lift the lino up. I had cut the lino to ribbons. So I learned to put stuff under whatever I was cutting with the Stanley knife ever since. Some of these lessons are costly. I didn't get smacked for it, but I knew the cost of it, and I learned a lesson, feeling very, very stupid. But I remember being punished for things that I did. My dad didn't hate me. I'm sure he was a bit annoyed about me, and I got a smack for it, but I learned not to do the things that I did that annoyed the man who was old enough to have me and pay the bills and make the rules. Even to wiping under the draining rack on the sink, which for some strange reason my wife likes to do as well. So that one came in handy. Little did I know that 40, 50 years ago that would come in handy for married life. The relationships and the things that go on in this world, the Lord often used in parables. Because the way things work in this world properly, it's like a shadow of the way things work in heaven. And if we are to take and apply that, my dad didn't want to kill me, although it probably felt like he did from time to time. My dad didn't want to kill me. He wanted to teach me a lesson that would save me time and money and maybe even my life on down the road. It would prepare me. So when it got on to me that I didn't hoover the car right, or I didn't dry it off with the chamois, you could see all the tide marks, all, you know, the way the dust settles on the car or the dirt. If you don't chamois it away, you end up with all these like dusty, dried-in dust marks. And he made me wash it again. That was to help me. It wasn't to kill me. It wasn't to make sure, honest John, it wasn't to make, or are you remembering some things that your dad used to tell you to do? Says Mr. Perfection at the back there. You don't mind that until it's your car, and then you do mind it. But my dad wasn't trying to kill me. He was trying to help me. And all of the things that are in the Bible, how many people in this world don't have a dad or a mum to sit down and tell them the things that God did in their lives that helped them? And they want to pass that on to their children. How many people don't have a mother or a father like that? And that is why God, for so many reasons, God not only created his word, inspired men to write his word out, but he promised, as long as there is a lost soul on this world, in fact, the Bible is going to stand even when the earth's in flames. That's what God said. Heaven and earth will pass away. My word will never pass away. That's the promise of God. His words of instruction and the things that we need to know are there for anybody, regardless of their circumstances. What God needs for us to know, not just in this life right now, but for the endless ages of eternity, are in there. They're in this book. And the most important one we know is you must be born again. You should be born again. It's free. It's
forever. It's absolutely for sure, because Jesus keeps it in the palm of his hand. It takes up as much room in your life as you want to give it, or absolutely none whatsoever. Not the life I would recommend, because living a Christian life is always more fun and more joyful and more satisfying whenever you're doing it with the God that gave it you. It costs you nothing because Jesus paid for it all. You can go as far with it as you like, or you can just sit down and wait for your ticket to be called. But you won't get into heaven without it. And so it's very important. And God has it in this book. And he has it in the lips and the hearts of those that love him. And he has it in little pieces of paper that people put through doors or leave in magazines. And he has it in TV programs. And he has it on websites and YouTube videos and Facebook and all over the place. There's someone somewhere that has found a way to integrate the gospel into whatever it is they're doing. For those that don't. And even as we were reading this, people were just about to go into the promised land. And God said this one thing. I haven't killed everybody in the promised land in case the land goes to rack and ruin. But as you progress through the promised land and as you take your inheritance, I will give you the victory. I just read on a few more pages into Judges. And it tells a tale of woe about how the children of Israel could have had all of these victories, but didn't. The Amorites and the Canaanites and the Jebusites, all of these people that were pagans, all of the people that God had already said, don't be having anything to do with them, don't even have them about you. They kept them as servants and they kept them as tributaries. They took taxes off them. And they said to them, because you didn't do what I said, they're false religions. It's all going to come back and haunt you. And he said, because you didn't, you've rebelled, you've disobeyed. And because you reject my counsel, and because you refuse to lean upon me, and you want to trust in the gods of the people in the lands that I conquered and beat already, I will teach you a lesson. That is what he says. I will turn and do you hurt. After that, I have done you good. He didn't say I was going to utterly wipe you out. He said, I am going to tan your behinds for you until you learn your lesson. That is literally what he said. When you refuse the gift of God, I know I'm sounding like a dictator here. This is what you have to do. You're going to get a thick ear. But if you're saved, you're a child of the King of Kings. And the King of Kings has standards and he wants things done the way he said he wants them done, the best way. He says, I need it done this way so that people can see what I can do in your life. I want it done this way because this is the best for your life. This will keep your life freer from drama. It will keep your health because you'll be away from the things that cause so many health issues, disease and one thing and another. And it will keep your mind. For a bunch of the stuff that people's worrying about tonight, whenever you're reading your Bible, whenever you're saying your prayers and offloading all your worries to God, they're not going to worry you like they would someone out in the world who has to go and have a half a bottle of whiskey and a couple of tranquilizers just to get them off to bed at night. I don't know what God would do to someone if they went off the rails. I'm going to read this verse from 1 Samuel 15. This was Samuel the prophet to Saul. Whenever Saul continually refused to obey what Samuel said from God, this is what Samuel said. Rebellion is the sin of witchcraft. Does anybody know what the Bible says is the penalty for witchcraft?
Death.
Exactly. And stubbornness
is as iniquity and idolatry. Does anybody know what the penalty for idolatry was, worshipping false gods in the Old Testament? It was the same again, it was death. Because thou hast rejected the word of God, he hath also rejected thee from being king. God is really good. And I know sometimes, even though we stand up here and preach about my particular bugbear of your truth, and what's the other one I mentioned this morning that escapes me right now? Your truth and something else. Your truth is only your opinion. And if it differs from the word of God,
what makes me happy?
And what makes me happy? Oh, I want to be happy. Do you? Well, then accomplish something. Go and do something there and take joy in the fruit of your labours. Friends, and now I lost the track. We think about all the troubles people have to go through on their own. And all the things that God saves you from because you worship him. And then you say, I want to do what everybody else is doing. I want to drink. I want to smoke. I want to do drugs. I want to go out to clubs and pick up wee boys and wee girls. I want to lie in my bed and not come to church. I want to use bad language. I want to be like everybody else. God will say, you're a free moral agent. You can do whatever you like. I have put the Bible there. You have read it at least once or heard some excellent preaching in Bethel Baptist Church. It might be a bit blunt and might not be as eloquent as we like sometimes. You can do that. You're a free moral agent. But there's consequences to your actions. You have named yourself as my child. I will not let you embarrass me, at least not for very long. And I have heard of accounts of people's lives being cut short. One that springs to mind right now was a preacher who had had a problem with alcohol. And it was known amongst the congregation that he had been an alcoholic before he became a gospel preacher. And I don't know what brought him to it, but one night he was sitting in a bar and one of his parishioners came in and said, preacher, what are you doing here? He says, I needed a drink and I know I'm a dead man. God's going to kill me for this. And that's exactly what happened. He died very, very shortly afterwards, maybe even on the way home. Remember the story of a young man who was raised up in a Christian family, and he got into high school when young people, is it high school or college, when young people are old enough to drink, at least in this country. And he'd been faithful in Sunday school, he'd been faithful in Bible class, he'd been faithful in church, he'd been faithful in the youth clubs and all this here. But whenever he got to older and fell in with bad company, he said, Mom, I don't want to go to church anymore. And his mum begged and pleaded with him and said, love, if you go out with your friends, you will die. I want to go with my friend. And he did. And he died. We think that's awful. Why would God kill anybody? It's only our bodies that are going to die. If you think about it, as a saved soul, you will live forever. These bodies will give up some of these days. God wants the best for you, and he has a set of tracks that the best Christian life will run on. Those tracks don't include booze, drugs, casual physical relationships. They don't include rebelling against God. Those tracks are not there to stop you from indulging in all of those things. Those tracks are there to save you from those things. And God knows, sometimes we don't. We get so engrossed in something or distracted by something else, we make a bad decision. You know the best thing to do? Philippians chapter 4 says, be careful for nothing, but in everything with prayer and supplication and thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. Go back and beg God's forgiveness.
and get yourself back on track again. I've seen people's health broken. I've seen people's lives cut short. I have heard of terrible... I heard the testimony of a missionary who had a wife and two young children, and God called him to the mission field, I think, a second time. And his wife said, I don't want to go back to the mission field in those countries because it's too warm and there's snakes everywhere, and I'm used to living in America. And so one day, he just didn't go because the wife just refused. So one day, the wife comes in holding one of the children, and she was afraid of the children being bitten by poisonous snakes. And the child had been bitten by a poisonous snake in the backyard. And in his rush to get the child off to the hospital to get an anti-venom, he ran over the other child and killed them as well. And whenever the man sat in hospital with his two children dead, he said, God, I am ready for the mission field. We don't like to hear these things. Those people are still living forever in heaven. Their lives here were cut short. Any of you ever misbehaved badly enough, you were called in for an early bath with no supper and sent to bed? John's smiling already, so that maybe Norman there a bit as well. I'm sure supper was a big thing. You didn't want to miss your tea or your bowl of cereal before bed. So I can't recall any myself, but that was a known punishment. You don't want to miss your supper. You don't want to miss the end to your day. You don't want to miss whatever TV programs might be on between 7 and 9 o'clock. And it's just the same here, friends. God doesn't want to do that to us, but there are some lessons we need to learn. And there are some lessons, there are some rules that God has that if we break, we will pay for. And it's not because he hates us. It's so that Egypts like me can stand at the front of the church and recount these happening in other people's lives so we make sure they don't happen in our own lives. There was a fellow that used to come to this church, and he loved the Bible. And he knew the Bible. And he could have argued anyone to the foot of the cross, showing them where they were wrong and showing them how great it is to be in touch with God and obey him. I remember there was a fellow at the door that he had knocked on, and he was charismatic and he was reading from the NIV and he didn't know up from down and left from right, and this young fellow was able to tie him in knots. And he met a girl in work who was a nurse. And she encouraged him himself to do the training and become a nurse. And of course, they got closer and closer and they got married. He stood right there. And he said to me, Mark, I have to follow my heart. And I said to him, that's the biggest mistake you'll ever make in your life. And at this moment in time, they had three kids. He smokes and drinks. He can't find a church that's wackadoodle enough to actually go to, that doesn't speak, if they don't speak in tongues and have spiritual gifts and they fall down flat on the floor like fish and barking like dogs and laughing like hyenas and hooting like owls, if they can't find one far enough out there, I don't know. But he now believes that everyone's going to heaven and smoking and drinking is not going to hurt him. His family might not even be saved. He believes his brother. He doesn't testify to his family. He has a couple of close relations that aren't even saved, and he thinks they're going to heaven. And his behavior will make sure they go to hell, and he might end up going in for an early bath. I wouldn't want that for anybody. I want to see God giving you
the words to speak in any given situation. I want to see God's authority emanating from you as you speak in the name of God. I want for you to know that you have. I want you to have the peace that passeth all understanding. I want you to have less drama than, goodness, if you watch TV, you'd have to think you'd have to be having money problems, alcohol problems, drug problems, psychiatric problems, and relationship problems. That's what you have to have, otherwise you're missing out. Thank you very much, I can do without that. I don't want anybody to have that. God doesn't either. That stuff will kill you quick. So God chastens us when we go off the rails. And God gives us sore behind. You might lose friends. You might lose business opportunities. You might even lose your job or your health. You might be confined to a bed whilst God tries to speak to you about what way your life's going to be going. I don't know, but I've heard all of those things. And you might just step off this mortal coil. I wouldn't want that for anyone. We're saved and we're going to heaven, but there's things to do here, and I enjoy doing them. But friends, God absolutely loves you. He loves you so much, he has you and me on display. You know what he says? Remember what he said to Job? Hast thou considered my servant Job? That's what he says about you. Here's my son Norman. Here's my son John. Here's my daughter, Monica. Here's my son, Mark. I'm proud of the other three. That Mark fella just has my head turned sometimes. Everybody else has an angel to minister them. I've got a whole cohort looking after Mark. God wants the best for us. But we live in very, very biblical times. And we absolutely need to be doing things the way God says to do. I know over the years of our lives we gain experience, don't we? We figure out what's right and wrong. We don't stick knives and forks in sockets. We don't put our hands across the path of Stanley blades whenever we're cutting them. And we certainly don't use serrated edge kitchen devils to cut bits of plastic because they slip very quickly and they can take a finger off. God knows what's coming around the corner. He knows our experiences before we even have them. And I am sure each one of us has experienced things that we wished we hadn't. And if we had known at the time and listened to God, we would have saved ourselves a world of hurt. That's what God wants for us. He doesn't chasten us to destroy us or obliterate us. It's not like the Death Star laser beam that will destroy the world around and about us. God's trying to teach us a lesson. If you're getting a difficult time and you're coming up against a brick wall and you go to God and he said, "Oh God, why am I having a difficult time coming up against a brick wall?" First thing God will say is, "Well, I love you, but have you read your Bible?" You say, "I have." "Well, do you remember this little portion of scripture?" And he will bring it to your remembrance. And you will say, "I see what you mean. I shouldn't have been doing that. Shouldn't have been there. I need to adjust my attitude." And God will say, "That's the right direction. The way that you were going was a dead end. You needed to be going a different way. And all you had to do was come and ask him and be prepared to learn. I love you, and I want the very best for you, but you are going about it the wrong way. You are leaving tide marks and dust marks on my car, and I need you to go over it with a chamois." That's what God will say to you. Anyway, he does love you. He loves each and every one of us so much that he has that open hand extended to lost and saved alike, for the lost to be saved and for the saved to go his way. Because no matter how good you are, how smart or fast you are, what's it they used to say in the Wild West? There will always be someone younger and quicker. There will always be someone stronger or faster. The only one that doesn't worry about those things is the God who gave his life on the cross for you. And he knows the best way for things to work, and that's to do it his way. And there has to come a time when even the most obtuse of children gets tired of having a warm bump and starts doing things the way their mommy and daddy say. And it should be the same for Christians too. It's not a popular topic, because even in Christian circles we like to think, oh, I'm right. I'm right. I'm God's man. I had a man tell me I'm God's man, and then tell me in the next breath about the things that he wanted to do, but he was already disqualified from doing. I said, no, that can't work. This is what the Bible says. Oh, but I want. Practicing Satanist, standing in the church explaining this to me. I will be like God. I will do what I want. Don't be like that. I don't know about you. God knows what's coming round the corner. I barely know what I'm having for supper tonight. Maybe it's going to be cereal, although it's up in the air. God knows what's happening tomorrow and the next day and 1,007 years down the line. I'm going to put my faith in him. I'm not going to listen to the weird thoughts that shoot through my head or what appears in the TV screen. God knows best. Best to listen to. Thank you for your patience. Thank you for your indulgence. We're stopping there. We're going to sing a song, and then we will be dismissed for you. 34 in the big book. Is that yours?
Yes.
Making sure it doesn't get forgotten. 34 in the big book. I know that my Redeemer liveth, but stand and sing if you're fine.
I know that my Redeemer liveth.
plenty happening this week by the sounds of things. So, amen. Safe travels home, and see you at the next appointment time. Let's close our eyes and bow our heads. We'll be dismissed with a prayer. Heavenly Father, thank you for this time. And Lord, we thank you for keeping your word for us, for an understanding of it. Thank you, Lord, too, for the freedom to preach it still. Please bless us as we part company. Please see us safely home. And back at the next appointed time, Lord, we love you and thank you. Don't be done with us, Lord, please. Please keep working on us, in us, and through us. And we ask all this in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ, and according to your will. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Folks, God bless you. Shake hands and fellowship for a little bit. We are dismissed.